The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Got to say, your podcasts are well listened to. People like the stocks you talk about. Well, I think it's just you, John. You've got a magnetic aura about you. You know, that's what it is, which is relevant when you're in resources, magnetic auras. And even on Vox, the most read RNSs pretty much of a morning are like from resource companies. You know, there's a lot of appetite for resource companies, aren't there, amongst smaller investors. I suppose it's because they can have that re-rate. If something happens, it's good news. They can almost, you know, you can double, treble your money nearly, can't you? If you get good news coming out.
Yeah, it's a risky sector and it's not for widows and orphans, but
high risk.
The rewards are there if you invest in companies
if you don't lose your money.
Are fortunate. Yeah, I mean, if you have an exploration company that has a successful drill hole and then a successful valuable deposit that comes off that, then the returns from that can be fantastic. Alternatively, it can take, if you take the example of Solgold, 10 years of hard slog and drilling and fundraising every year to find something, you know, that it's very meaningful. Now, Solgold, I think, is a very good example of this, of a really good geological team that were very determined to make sure that, you know, they drill a project and drop it as soon as they didn't find anything, even if it was promising, and move on to the next one. And hence they found the Alpala or Cascabel project in Ecuador, and it's the company's something over 400 million now.
Yeah, but who is still holding shares after 10 years of fundraisers and drillings? Is anyone from the original investors still holding?
That is difficult to say. Certainly there were ups and downs along the way. So,
and also, regardless of market cap, we're at 50 pence. I'm going back to, 2006? It sort of IPO'd, it? 50 odd pence. And now it's 28 pence. So it hasn't gone above the IPO level.
It certainly looks as if the IPO was done at too rich a level, but sometimes when you're IPOing on a project that perhaps doesn't quite work out, and then of course the value will come back, and that is the risk of the game, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so if you'd had the faith and kept in there for 10 years, you'd only lost half your money. What a great return. There we are. Okay, let's saying that in this market, that's not a bad return. Only losing half your money, the market we've had the last 18 months. Okay, let's talk about some macro, John. Maybe some upside in gold. What's happening with gold?
Well, we're expecting non-farm payroll data from the US today. That'll give the market some kind of indication of perhaps where interest rates are going, although there are now comments coming out from Jerome Powell and other people in the Fed indicating that they're going to ease off on rate rises. So the market's looking for another 25 basis point rate rise and probably not much more than that. And this is because of the ongoing banking crisis in the US, where these sort of mid-tier banks, which are really quite big compared to banks in Europe, but they are, some of them are in trouble because of the way they've managed their bond portfolios. So we saw First Republic Bank being rescued, in effect, seized and then rescued. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank was the first one to go, and the market is concerned that there may be others.
Every day, John, I'm looking at CNBC, and literally a regional bank in America, their share price is dropping by 50%. It's like, you know, every day a new one comes out, and I think, when is it going to end? They go, and also, let's be honest, government bonds are supposed to be, quite safe, and that's where many of the banks held their deposit or their investments, or whatever. And then, due to central bank raising interest rates like crazy, of course, those bonds are sold off. So it's down to the central banks. So it's the central bank's problem. They over, eased are flushing sort of money into the system, and are they overdoing it, pulling it out? It's like they're extreme. I just think, stop messing around. Central banks, you are the problem. They really are the problem, and yet they're blowing up banks now. So, I think they've overrated the race now. I think we'll see. You know, we're over tightened. I think you'll see unemployment kicking up quite quickly very soon, and all of a sudden they'll have to bring interest rates back down again quickly, and because the economy is tanking. But they've gone too far, too fast, too far. You know, just it's hard to be moderate, isn't it? You know, humans tend to overreact. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think governments need to find other ways of stimulating growth without dropping interest rates necessarily quite so low. Having said that, I'm really looking forward to lower interest rates again from a mortgage perspective. Or perhaps they just need to ensure that banks are not gambling on interest rate changes. And I think there's been a certain amount of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm going to ask, what I'm worried about is, so if we have big unemployment coming up in the next few, you know, a year or so, whatever, 6 months, 12 months, then many employers will just say, let's just use ChatGPT, let's use AI rather than employees. That could happen, couldn't it?
My personal view is that for every one of these new innovations that comes into the market, I think whilst they might displace some jobs, other jobs will be created. So I don't think people should be so worried about this. But unfortunately, it means that people might need to be a little bit more flexible in their approach to employment and the industries they work in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Marvelous. Okay. Let's talk about companies, individual companies. First of all, you like your Bushveld, John. So there's Bushveld Minerals. What they come up with some news, haven't they?
They have announced the restructuring of their convertible debt with Orion Mining Finance. Orion offer a whole series of or a suite of financing options for these companies, and all of this is subject to due diligence, which they'll obviously do now. So they've offered there to refinance $45 million worth of debt. So there's a convertible note in there that actually was going to convert at a 17 pence conversion price. And was carrying a 10% interest rate, which was quite nice for Orion, but the conversion price is not good because Bushveld's down at 4.25 pence. So the good thing is that's all been refinanced. Investors don't need to worry about that for another few years, and Bushveld have hopefully sufficient cash to allow them to continue to expand production at Vanchem and Vametco. The original Vametco site, I think, is running pretty well. And the Vanchem facilities, which were having a few problems because of ongoing load shedding in South Africa. I think a lot of that's been sorted out by management, who went to talk to the local municipality and said, well, hold on, you're really hurting our business by turning the power off on a regular basis. So I believe that's been sorted out now. So Bushveld should be in a better place from a production perspective. They are highly leveraged, not only to the price of vanadium, but also to the South African rand and to local inflation factors. So it's definitely not for widows and orphans, this stock. But it does have potential for very strong earnings growth if we see a rise in ferrovanadium prices, if we see further depreciation in the South African rand, and assuming they can continue to grow production and reduce unit costs.
Yeah. Well, just looking at the interim results, I just thought, June 2022, so they have their full results out yet. No, they haven't, have they? But, anyway. Borrowings, non-current liabilities, got 70 million there. And current is about 7.5, so it's, you know, so got debt there of 77 million. What's the market cap then? What's the kind of market? Is it BMN or something? Yeah, It's
market capitalization is £54 million.
Yeah, 57. But in this environment, debt is a big anchor, isn't it? It slows you down, drags you down. If the anchor gets too big, it'll bring the whole boat under. So I'm not saying it's going to happen there, as long as they can generate cash to maintain that. But that's the way the whole system has worked, isn't it? With cheap money for a long time. People took advantage of the cheap money, and all of a sudden central banks, hike up the interest rates and make that money very expensive. So it's like, what's going on? We got from one extreme to the other. There we are. I mean, when I invest now, I tend to look at companies with very little debt. In fact, very interesting, the chart of gold, just going back to that. Three times since 2020, August 2020, March 2022, and now May 23, it's got up to this level and failed and then gone back down. Well, I'm not saying it's going to fail this time, but it has the last two previous times. So it's gone back down to sort of, 1700 from 21. Okay, so that's Bushveld, gold as well. Orosaur. Oh, my Oros is sore. Oh, am I?
Yes, Orosaur. They're busy people. There's a joint venture that they have with Newmont and Goldcorp, I think. Sorry, not Goldcorp, another company. They issued an operational update yesterday. So the joint venture agreement has just put things on hold, I think, while they figure out what they're going to do. But remember that the joint venture agreement is with Newmont and Agnico Eagle. Newmont is busy acquiring Goldcorp at the moment, so that usually puts things on hold anyway, where they work out where they want to work in the world. I like the Anza project, though. I think it has good potential, and they had some quite good drill results recently from some other deposits that were relatively nearby within the area in Colombia. So I'm actually more impressed with Orosaur these days than I used to be. At the Pepas project, 37 meters at 2.1 grams a ton from surface. So some quite good, encouraging results that we've seen. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame that they've put things on ice for a little while, but I'm sure they'll get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, tertiary mineral, TYM. Ticker. What's happening there, John?
Well, tertiary's been a very quiet company for many, many years.
Yes.
And last year it decided to take up some licenses in Zambia, and it's doing a bit of work on those. It's been re-assaying assays from a previous drill hole, and what they've got 33 meters of 0.24% copper. That in itself is not a company maker. They're 9 meters of that within that at 0.43. Again, that's quite a nice result on its own. It doesn't mean a lot, but I'm a big fan of companies that are working in Zambia because there are more sizable discoveries to be made in that region. And I think the concept of owning a bunch of these things within Zambia is a good idea. So if we look at ARC Minerals, Anglo American is still in discussions with them over a potential $100 million investment. In fact, Anglo America, they will start investing in exploration through ARC as soon as they've completed their due diligence, assuming that is there are successful results from that.
Yes. Okay. And what about John Mayer's portfolio at the moment? Is it any spare cash there? Or are you fully invested? What's going on?
Well, apart from trying to help my daughter to buy a flat, I'm fully invested. And I'm invested in copper and lithium mainly.
Well, tell your daughter that. I can't invest in a flat. I'm investing in copper and lithium. Unless you're building your house out of that stuff, I can't help you.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
But do you know what? It's funny. I don't know if you saw the report out this week from Zoopla saying that first-time buyers, I don't know if your daughter's a first-time buyer, but they're saying that now they're moving off the rental sort of ladder, if it were, or the rental merry-go-round, because it's so expensive to rent now because prices have gone up. And in London, it's 30% cheaper to get a mortgage if you can get the down payment. Mortgage payments are 30% cheaper than renting. So they're saying that's stimulating the economy a bit, and you may even see a Help to Buy scheme coming back online because, you know, Rishi Sunak's up against it, apparently, in the local elections, and he's going to do everything he can to stimulate the economy. And Help to Buy is one of those things he may be doing. So, you know, is she a first-time buyer, John?
Yes, first-time buyer, and absolutely, it looks cheaper to buy than to rent. But you've got to pull together the deposit for this, and pulling the deposits together is definitely not a stimulating event for the economy.
No, or for the bank of mum and dad. So maybe you should wait until the autumn. If you're desperate to move in, because the autumn statement, apparently, when that comes out, then there's hints there may be Help to Buy for first-time buyers. So, yeah.
Well, there are already preferential stamp duty rates.
Yes.
For first-time buyers, I'm not convinced they'll extend it that much further, to be honest. But
there shouldn't be any stamp duty. Why is this? Every level they tax you on, they will. At every point in your life, any opportunity to get to scrape some money off you, and they will, won't they? What is stamp duty about? Why is it needed? You know, first of all, you pay income tax on the money you earn. If you buy something that achieves capital gains tax, like a house, they charge you that. You know, everything. If you drive to work and back, basically they tax you, cut road tax in your car, then petrol tax on the fuel. Everywhere along the line, they tax you every single level. And then you buy a house, stamp duty, they tax you. If you sell it and make money, they tax you there. So stop it with the taxes. We can't do anything. Just scrap stamp duty, for heaven's sake. It's so complex, isn't it? They're trying to hide so many taxes. It's a racket, John. It's worse than the mafia.
I don't think the government can afford to scrap stamp duty, unfortunately. And if the property market was to slow down too much, that, I think, would be a problem for the Treasury as well. So the Treasury needs to come up with some new ideas for raising funds so that it can have a little bit more wiggle room on shall we say, allowing first-time buyers, at more advantageous rates to help the help the bottom end of the property market.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, marvellous stuff. Cheers for that, John. Speak you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.